Get ready for an all-new Hardline segment. It's
brought
time to step into
American Leaf Detective.
The Snake Pit.
Blow it up.
Now, with something completely over the top.
Snake.
All right. I encourage everybody on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday to consume as much television as you possibly can. Maybe Thursday's tough, too, because the NFL kicks back into gear as college football.
What if we're always at baseball games, though?
Well, that's another thing. If you're like us and diehard baseball fans and you go to damn near 90% of the games, then it's tough.
Tough to get our TV watching.
But I did wake up soups early this morning because I was wildly interested in the Charlie Sheen documentary on Netflix that dropped today.
I woke up early to watch the first day of the Charlie Sheen documentary. I love you.
Thank you.
You're the best.
I don't have any other time to do it, and so I wanted to do it this morning. And
put on a pot of coffee.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Maybe hit an elliptical for one episode of it. But
hit a rock of crack.
Dude, it is 3 hours of the most wild-ass, no-holds-barred stuff you've ever seen.
3 hours?
And I want people to realize this, because I think that what happened 10 years ago, or whenever that was, with Tiger Blood and AIDS and the tour and all that, it's clouding everyone's judgment of how crazy his life was the 30 years prior to that. Like, it wasn't just the end.
It wasn't just that very public meltdown.
No, it was actually crazier leading up to this. And yet, here we are. This man who has lived 1,000 different lives is still on the planet. And to be quite frankly, after all that he's done to his body, he looks okay for 63 years old or however old he is. He looks pretty good. Sounds good, too. And he's been sober now for 7 years, I do believe. But it's a great documentary from the standpoint of the following. His father was Martin Sheen. For those who don't know, Martin Sheen in the 70s was one of the biggest actors out there. He was the star of Apocalypse Now, which was one of the movies, not that Martin, one of the movies of the 70s that, you know, kind of helped define that whole era of film.
Later, President Bartlett.
He was one of our greatest presidents.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, The West Wing was, you know, his coup de grace almost. But he was in a million things. He had multiple kids, Emilio Estevez, Carlos Estevez, which is Charlie's name. And Charlie and Emilio and their older brother and Sean Penn, they all moved to Malibu when they were kids. Well, Malibu wasn't Malibu. So now we think of Malibu as like, ooh, hey. So as they describe it, Malibu was a place that like teachers and plumbers lived. It was on the outskirts of L.A., and it was considered rural farmland almost.
What's this ocean?
Dude, this is the weirdest thing, and when you watch this, you'll understand, but they were like, Malibu was nothing.
Nobody wants this oceanfront property?
Looks kind of nice to me, but okay.
And over time, it developed into Malibu, but they ran around. Their parents bought them a Super 8 camera when they were little kids, and they ran around making movies, and these movies are part of the part one of the documentary, where these little Estevez boys are kind of mimicking what their dad is going through in each and every movie.
And their buddy Sean Penn.
He's in it too.
Wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. And Nicolas Cage, they were all friends when they were young, growing up together. It's really, really this cool historical look back at how these guys kind of made their start. And Emilio Estevez broke out first. Charlie Sheen didn't graduate from college. I'm sorry, from high school. Didn't even get out of high school. He said he had like a 1.5 and just said, screw it, his senior year, and asked his parents, like, can I try acting? Emilio's doing pretty good. And this is like Breakfast Club time and all that, and Emilio's kicking ass. And they're like, yeah, you can try it, but if not, he says, I would graduate from high school, go to film school, and be a director of photography or something like that. So Jennifer Grey gets cast in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. She was also friends with Sheen in the Malibu area. She gets the director, John Hughes, to have him try out for the part of that bad boy that's in Ferris Bueller, which he eventually gets.
Yeah, waiting in the police office.
That's his first gig.
Really?
First gig. And, well,
yeah, I remember him saying that in a very method way, that in order to play that character, he stayed up for like 48 hours beforehand.
He did. Yep, he did. He borrowed his brother's leather jacket and all that good stuff. And And that kind of broke him. He was in some slasher movie before that, but nothing big. And that was the first break he got. Well, then he tried out for The Karate Kid. And he got it. He was going to be Ralph Macchio. And then he had committed to some other weird part that he had to fly to the Philippines for somewhere. I can't remember where. And he asked his dad, he was like, oh my God, I got this karate movie and they need to start shooting right now. And his dad goes, son, you made a commitment. You go honor this commitment. And he's like, dad, this movie sucks. It's going to be terrible. And they're like, and he goes, this is your commitment. Honor it. And then John Avildsen directed Karate Kid. It was like, sorry, we can't wait. And they cast Ralph Macchio and the rest is history. But as he said, I'm glad I didn't get it because Ralph Macchio is still the Karate Kid and has really done nothing else, right? And Sheen
kind of
went
a
on.
Backhanded compliment on Ralph Macchio.
Well, he's kind of right though. You kind of get typecast as this guy and he's like, he couldn't break out of it and I was able to do it. So then he tries out for the lead in Platoon and he gets the gig. And I mean, he's in an Oliver Stone movie that wins Best Picture. And during shooting that movie, he agrees to do Wall Street. Like, he was shot out of a cannon. And everything he touched turned to gold. And
got to be Ricky Vaughn.
And then came Ricky Vaughn, yes. He had a string of hits in the 80s that was unparalleled. He was making all this money, and that's when the partying started. And, dude, the partying, this is where this thing gets good. Because the partying, the amount of cocaine that he is doing, that he admits to. And this is not a documentary that hides anything. His drug dealer is a huge part of the documentary. Because he's like, what do I have to hide? I've done everything. Everyone knows my whole story. Let's just get it all out there factually. It is absolutely shocking how much drugs this guy consumed over a 30-year period. And I mean anything and everything. And his first experience with crack, which turned out to be, of all the drugs that he ever did, this is the one that took him straight downhill. Crack, this was his first experience.
So we get back to the condo. She falls asleep on the couch. I let her rest for a couple hours. The next morning, you know, I'm giving her some juice.
Just a random girl.
Snack or whatever. I'm trying to be hospitable. You know, I really like this girl. She says, if you don't mind, I'm starting to jones a little bit, and I kind of need to just get back up on my shit, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, sure, whatever. She pulls out her pipe and loads it up and takes a big hit. And just lays back on the couch like she's inside the best moment of all time. I'm a little curious. I'm a little bit curious. You know, I've done a lot of cocaine up to that point, just not in that form. She says, you know, I don't want to talk you into anything, but if you're curious, I think you might really enjoy this. And I said, I don't know, man. It's like, I got a lot of shit coming up. At that point, she's feeling the sexual charge from her hit. So she's starting to undress, and she's, you know, almost completely naked at this point. So she says, well, let me combo this up for you. Let me do something for you while you're doing this. How do I present this with any class?
We're past that,
yeah. She decides that giving me a while I'm taking my first hit of crack is going to be an experience.
I can only imagine.
And they're showing video of him riding a bike as a kid and hitting a home run.
It's indescribable. It took me to a place in my brain and in my body and what she was doing, and it all made sense on a level that I was really excited to finally embrace, but in that same breath, in that same experience, I'm deathly afraid of how far this could get away from me. And I was aware of that.
In the moment.
In the moment, yeah. The duality of those two conflicting forces. Sadly, she died. She died. Yeah, she OD'd on that.
And what a touching tribute to her, the crack giver.
Yeah, you're not going to believe this. She died.
At that moment.
The girl who introduced Charlie Sheen to crack, this just in, she died of crack.
At that, at that moment, he becomes addicted to crack. He goes through so many different machinations of addict from 1990 to 2012 or whatever it is.
I mean, it's very self-aware of him to know this is so good. This is a problem for me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are so many instances of you know, his family stepping in and interventions left and right and rehab this and rehab that, sober for a year, but crack always wins in the end. The Heidi Fleiss thing, he becomes addicted to, you know, hookers. It's a really sordid tale of crashing out and rising to the top and getting into sitcoms after the movie thing kind of dies out. He fills in for Michael J. Fox in Spin City. That's a hit. He then takes over and does 2 and a Half Men. He becomes the highest paid actor in television history.
It was such a huge hit at the time.
It was a massive hit. And all the while, he's trying to stay sober. He meets Denise Richards. Then he gets addicted to crack again. Then he beats her up. Then they get divorced. Then he marries someone else. Then they have a crack party in Aspen. He gets arrested there. Dude, it's so insane. And to hear Sean Penn, who's one of his best friends in the world, talk about the amount of drugs that he's actually done. Like, this is a quick synopsis of how they feel about Charlie and his drugs.
Yesterday morning, he was rushed to Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles. His father, Martin Sheen, was spotted there later that day. TMZ reports Sheen was taken out of his home on a stretcher and loaded into an ambulance.
You're hearing things from TMZ. You don't know what's true. You don't know what kind of shape he's actually in.
He's in detox after a cocaine and alcohol-fueled party a witness says lasted for days.
I've never seen someone so self-destructive. I thought maybe it was almost like a suicide binge.
We were all sure that he had OD'd and that he was probably very near death. And it was terrifying. But he just kept saying, no, you know, I'm in the hospital now, but next week I'll be ready for the show.
Guy eventually shows up and he opens up his bag and he just dumps open, I would say about 5, maybe about this big.
A tennis ball size.
Tennis ball size of cocaine.
I would party with him for weeks at a time.
This is drug dealer.
Which turned into months. And sometimes my body just wouldn't take it no more. And I would go home and sleep for a week or two. And then when I would go back to party, he was still partying every single night. And I thought to myself, like, damn, this guy's not human.
Charlie Sheen's biology, whether you're talking about that or just surviving the kind of stuff that he has, it's a different chemical reaction. And I think that there is something biologically different about him.
No man can survive what he consumed. Like, I'm not even joking. It's the hardest of hardcore drug addicts are like, oh my God, dude, what? You can do that? And he lived through it and is still alive to tell the story.
It's like him and Keith Richards. Like, they just they're immune.
It's amazing. It's AKA Charlie Sheen on Netflix. It's 2 parts. You will fly through it, especially if you grew up at that time. It is really, really well done. And he's a psycho.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.